hopefully Christine will join us at some point, maybe. And I don't know that anybody else. Oh, Preeti's here. Wonderful. She was getting her son organized to take public transport to school. So that must have happened. Did it, Preeti? Preeti? Hi. Did you just hear what I was saying?
No, I didn't. I'm just logging in.
I was just saying you must have gotten your son sorted out on public transport.
Yes.
All right.
I have. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think this is it. And so Megan's going to lead us into a centering. Just to let everybody know, we've been asked by the council not to go off planet in our work for the time being. And we've had several sessions with them around all of that. So you may notice a difference in the centering that is going to be very earth focused and that we're going to stay on the planet. We're not going to go out and twirl around in the multiverse right now. So, and if I could tell you why, I would. They've just asked us to go on faith. There's a lot in flux out there. And they said it's just better for everybody if we all stay on the planet. Don't go out there and get messed around with or mess around with whatever's out there. So just to let everybody know, if you were feeling that way anyway, you're right on the money as far as the council goes. So welcome everyone and take it away, Megan.
All right. So wherever you are, get yourself comfortable for a little centering. And if you can get your feet on the floor, that's great. And straighten your spine. Begin to do some prana breathing if that's good for you, in through your nose and out through your mouth. Slowly filling your lungs. And then as you breathe out, just letting go of any cares or worries from your day. Feeling your central pillar up and down your spine and staying very centered. Imagine from the base of your spine, you send a grounding cord down into this beautiful energy of Mother Earth, touching the crystals and the layers of earth and water and all the way down to the center of the earth. And go ahead and wrap your grounding cord around the center so that you're really anchored. And drop that earth energy up the cord. Feeling that energy moving up your grounding cord until you can really feel it at the base of your feet. And feel this earth energy gently spiraling up your legs, connecting with the base of your spine. And as you spiral it gently up your spine with your breath, just let it slowly spiral up to your crown. Continuing to breathe that beautiful life force energy. And from the top of your head, allow this earth energy to pop up and around you like a fountain of liquid light and create a sphere of protection around your body. Completely protecting every inch of your aura, of your auric field, before you and behind you, side to side and above and below. And just be intentionally creating like a triple protection around you. So this could be liquid light. It could look like liquid metal. So that you feel connected to the earth, centered in yourself, and firmly protected. And you can call in your light beings, your angels, your guides to surround you in light, offer another layer of protection. And then take a few more deep breaths, just feeling yourself safe inside your protected space. Centered in your heart. and ready to receive the stories of the evening. When you're ready, bring your focus back to the present and you can open your eyes.
And with your kind indulgence, we will come to say hello to everyone of this fine day and evening for you all. And so it is that we are keen to hear how altruism, kindness, and charity perhaps has or have impacted you in your lives and what you still carry from those gestures from others toward you to this day. And for those of you so inclined to twine and intertwine it with your mastery, and how perhaps these experiences have helped to form your mastery or sustain or to enliven or to quicken or to hone, shape, guide your mastery. For those of you who wish to take it into that understanding, whether it is on this sharing, this call, or whether it is afterwards and you are pondering more about those three things, but we see them to be different. Altruism, charity, and kindness are completely different in our understanding of them, certainly in our realm, and certainly as we, some of us who have lived in human form, have come back and reported to all of the rest of us who have not been. So we are keen to hear what you as masters and your wisdom and life experiences have brought you to understand about these parts of human nature that are closer to the divine part than the brute part. Unless, of course, they corrupt charities, which there are many on your planet. We would say, in fact, most of the most notable ones are. And so it is that we turn back to you and we give to you back the Dian in order for all of you to share and to learn, to listen with your whole beings to one another. For these are things that enliven and enrichen each and every one of you as you hear the stories of the other. And so let us take another deep breath, each and every one, to prepare and to let your wisdom inform. And for now, adieu. Welcome, Stella. We'll probably have Christine with us later if she's available on the phone. So who would like to go first? Actually, I can read what was sent out. I think I have it here. The theme is the most inspiring altruistic gesture from another person I have experienced. How that affects me to this moment. And then we've just been asked by the council if we are so inclined to talk about how it works with our mastery, our individual mastery, not theoretical mastery. So who would like to go first on this? This should be interesting to share these stories with each other. Welcome, Stella. Jim, thank you. And then when Jim's finished, would you please raise your hand if you're ready, and we'll just do it that way. Thank you.
I'm not sure this meets the definition of altruism, and it was a true gift to me. So nearly a year ago, I was introduced to a woman who, the friend who introduced us, thought we could make a good business match. And we hit it off in the first meeting, and she was ready to take me on board. She was starting her own company around leadership development and training, and she is highly involved with an organization called the John Maxwell Team. And she didn't just offer, she said, I will pay for you because it's such a fundamental part of the business, she would pay for me to go through that training. At that time, there was face-to-face conference planned for late March. And then within a few days, literally a few days, she called me and said, "And they've just introduced, the John Maxwell team has just introduced this new certification for family and parenting. How does that sound to you?" And she would pay for that too. So collectively, that she has invested, and it is for her, I believe, a business investment, though she recognizes and has said, "I know that you can use this anywhere and in any form, in any format." And she was, I felt, gifting me this probably $2,200 investment that would, of course, help me be better suited for her business. And I would have thought she would have said, "This is part of what we do, so please go get certified." And as I have just finished, I don't know about finished, but have recently drafted or redrafted my mastery statement at the professional level, two of the four bullet points are the coaching that I was certified in and the family and parenting certification. So I see very clearly how this fits into my mastery and the expression of it. And hopefully it will blossom into a greater relationship between me and Gail, is her name, and greater prosperity and abundance. Thank you. Who would like to go next? Kenora.
Well, a year ago, a little over a year ago, I was offered a place to live on 52 acres of land. And even though it's been a rocky road for me to feel comfortable and safe and stable, and, you know, I've projected a lot of stuff out there to confirm that I wasn't, I get reassured more now that I am in a stable, beautiful place. And the more that I feel that, I feel safer and safer. So, you know, it's working its way through or working its way out. And the relationships are getting more meaningful and beautiful and more honest. And so that creates meaning and depth. And a very nurturing exchange. From here, I've been able to lift off, you know, in the last few months, I've been able to lift off and start working a place where I'm appreciated and acknowledged. And I support everyone there. And also, I'm really feeling connected with the earth here more and more every day, with the trees, with life here. And so it feels like there's an interchange that is occurring that I'm feeling energetically on a daily basis. So I feel all that as part of my blueprint. I feel that without trying to know more, I'm just being here with it all and being so grateful to connect with Gaia like this and all of you like this. So thank you so much.
Preeti, I think you had your hand up first. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Kanara. Thanks, Jim. So for me, when I was thinking about it, it was a little bit difficult to come up with something because I have received a lot as help, as support, and to the extent I could, it was difficult for me to find out as an unconditional giving from a stranger, almost a stranger. So I was really thinking, and one incident came up. This was back when I was in my late teens. I was studying a professional qualification in India. So we used to have these two-wheelers, the bikes to go back and forth. So I was in one of the classes early in the morning. We had classes at 6:30, so we drive back and come back at 8:30. So at 8:30, it was prime traffic when we got back to our home, and I met with an accident. So there was a cycle that came right in front of me without braking, just like that, and my brakes were not that strong. So I tried hard to brake, and then I hit the cycle with my bike, and I flew off my vehicle a few feet apart, over. Thankfully, I had a helmet on. Usually, the helmets are not mandatory, kind of off, on and off. So thankfully, I had my helmet on. Otherwise, I believe I would have had a head injury. So nothing major of sort. I could get up, there was no problem with the cycle. Also, he just got up, rode, and drove back, not even mentioning, why he should have come, just like whatever. And then I was still in a shock. I had some bruises on my leg, and I was a bit under shock because I was thrown off. And then I had my best friend who was following me in another bike, and she was like, "Are you okay?" And everyone gathered, and yeah, I'm fine. And usually I'm not somebody who would try to create a scene, or at least I would think, "Oh no, I'm fine myself, I can do this." So I was kind of disoriented a little bit, and I was not sure, and I was very clear after 5 minutes I needed the crowd to go away, and I would be on my way home. So I was on my bike. My friend said, "Are you okay? Everything is fine?" I said, yeah, I'm fine. And then she drove to her place, and I still had to drive another 15 minutes in that. And I didn't know whether the vehicle was in a good condition to drive or not. So I boarded the bike, and then I went, and I noticed there was another, I would say, a classmate, and I have seen him very often in the same class, and because you usually are 100 of us in the same class, so we don't necessarily know each other, but we know that, okay, this person is coming the same way, we knew that. And this person who was in another bike, and he slowly followed me, just made sure whether I would go home safely. And I was looking at it, and he could have always driven past. Usually he drives faster, right? And I was like trying to, I have not come out of the shock. I didn't ask for help. I didn't call anybody. I just decided, and I was literally shaking. And then I noticed this person was in my mirror. He slowly made sure, and he came until my house, until I went into that, and then he moved on. And only a few days later, I actually went back and thanked him, that, that's very nice. Thank you very much for. So I still think, and after that, of course, we had a friendship and all that. So that's one incident that stands out, like, as unconditional for me. And I feel that was a true altruism. So I'm blessed to receive something like that. Thank you. Who would like to go next? Yes, Chad.
Okay, so first I had to go to the dictionary and learn what altruism was. But it got me thinking, and next time give me a little more time. It'd be nice to have a little more time to think this out. But I was thinking about it, and my youngest daughter, Jackie, she lives next door, and she practices altruism. She's altruistic. I mean, she's always, almost on a daily basis, comes over here and blesses us with something. But it goes beyond that, because she's a hospice nurse, and she has all these clients. And she goes, and she gets us involved sometimes. I've hauled mattresses over for people that needed mattresses and stuff. She's always looking to bless them and, go above and beyond. And I can say that her clients love her to pieces. I mean, she's just a great little girl. And Carol and I were talking about it, and all of our kids are kind of like that. They're always helping their friends and doing stuff. Yeah. And so that really blesses me. But to even take a little further, I was thinking, this isn't a direct correlation, but I don't know if you've ever heard of Desmond Doss. He was a medic in World War II. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he was a nonviolent person. So he's a soldier, and he went to war, and he refused to carry a rifle. And, I mean, he suffered all kind of retribution for that, but he hung tough. And in the Battle of Okinawa, they were up on, like, this plateau, and they were overran. And he didn't carry a rifle, and they retreated, and all the wounded people were left. And he, for the next day or two, he saved, like, 75 people. He carried them off this cliff. He'd lower them down, and he'd go back for more. There's a movie about him. It's called Hacksaw Ridge. And he just kind of exemplifies that. He didn't have to go to war. He worked at a shipyard, so he was exempt from going to war, but he felt so compelled to serve his country. He felt compelled to go with these soldiers and do what he could do, and he did a lot. Mm-hmm. So just something that always makes me tear up when I think about him and what he did. Because it's totally selfless. So, who's next? Carol.
I was trying to figure out, because honestly, I've had a lot of people in the later part of my life that have showed me such kindness, and many of them are here on this call. Amazing people that, have loved someone who didn't love herself at all. And have loved me into loving, and I think you know who you are. And I'm just so thankful for that, because I am just a totally different person today than I was, when I began this journey of discovery of myself, and I began having all kinds of nightmares and stuff, and figured out what was wrong with me, and I had PTSD. And actually, I met Megan at Nine Gates, and she has just done so much for me in so many ways. I just can't express that. I see that as just such altruism in her life. I see it all the time. And if it wouldn't have been for you, Megan, I wouldn't be where I am, and you've gone out of your way so many times to help me, and I just feel that this is a time I can thank you for that, and I really appreciate it so much. And then I'll tell you a little funny story, too, if you want to hear, just a little one. I went up to, this was years ago, my kids were really little, and I went up to a baby shower about an hour away up in Portland. I live in Rainier. And Jeff called me when I was there and said, you better get home. There's black ice coming on the roads. So I head down the freeway, and I was going down the freeway, and my car literally just slid right off the road, just like over into this little corner. And when I slid over there, there were some people there that were chaining their car up. And I literally got out of my car, and I looked at him. I said, oh my God, I just slid off the road. And they looked at me. They said, well, why don't you come with us? And I said, okay. And they ended up, her name was Rebel, and they were the wildest people ever. And they got me in their car, and they said they were going to their dad's for a birthday party down in Longview, which is pretty close to where I live. And so they took me there to this birthday party, and they were feeding me, and they asked me if I wanted to go out to Chinese food. And all these people were like looking, going, who is that? You know? And they were saying, oh, well, we picked her up on the road, you know? And I'm like, anyway, so, and then I was talking to their dad before they went to the Chinese restaurant, And he just, I was talking to him, and I, you know, like I have, my kids are so little, and, you know, my husband's at home and there's no phones and he's probably worried sick about me. And he looked at me and he said, "You want to go home, don't you?" And I said, "Well, I really would." And he said, "I'll get you home." And I'm like, "Get me home. It's black ice out. You can't go anywhere." He said, "I'll get you there." And he literally took me in his truck, and he, well, first he showed me his motorcycles in the garage and all this stuff, and it was really fun. And then he got me in his truck, and we live up on top of a hill, Rainier Hill, and he put it in whatever gear he put it in, and he powered up the hill. There was nobody on the road because it was ice, and he powered up the hill, and he took me home. And I will never forget that. They were just, like I said, like characters, but they were the nicest people, just willing to help me. So I just remember them. So it was funny. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
Who would like to go
next? Stella? I think I got Stella.
Yeah.
Stella did. And Seema, you're just going to have to be more flamboyant. All we can see is from your chin up. We can't see much of you. So there you go.
So I when I saw the invitation, it's the two incidences that immediately popped to mind are the two times when I didn't have water at home for once I was in Paris and once I was in Washington, and I didn't have water at home, and I really wanted to take, I wanted to take a shower and I wanted to take a bath. And it had been in Paris, there was construction being done and there was no hot water. And I'd gotten to the point where I was boiling water and trying to heat up the water. And it was just a little, you know, ridiculous to have to do like this weirdo sponge bath thing. And finally I called a childhood friend of mine and said, "Listen, it's kind of embarrassing to share this, but would it be all right if I come to your house to take a bath? So just really in need of that." And she pulled out all of she gave me a big fluffy towel and pulled out all the soaps and it was like one of the best bathing experiences ever. And then a couple of years later, there was construction being done at my house and I didn't have water and I was in Washington and the same thing happened. And it's like, oh crap, here I am again in this situation, having to, but really feeling vulnerable and really feeling ashamed that I didn't have the water and that I didn't have all these things taken care of. And I called another friend, a college friend, and I thought of, you know, of all my friends, who can I call to ask for this? And a lot of people, I didn't feel comfortable asking them to use their bathroom and to take a bath and to explain what was going on with my personal life and why it was that I didn't currently have water and all these other things. But with this friend, he welcomed me in his house and gave me a glass of wine and, you know, gave me as much time as I wanted in the bathroom, showering and actually not showering, taking another bath. And it was another delightful experience with plenty of hot water. And it was a real act of vulnerability for me to ask for this. And for these people to offer and to offer so generously and not shame me, but rather, you know, make me feel as comfortable as possible and make it be a really delightful experience. And for me, that's an act of altruism in the sense that, and I don't know why the water thing in particular was so sensitive for me that I, you know, felt so much shame about having to go ask someone for a bath, but there was something about not being able to meet my own basic needs that made it so that so that felt super vulnerable. And for a lot of other people in the, you know, I knew I had hundreds and hundreds of friends in the Washington area, and there was no one that I felt comfortable asking except for this person under these circumstances. So yes, it's my altruistic share. I'm sure there have been other moments, but those are the two that come to mind. And I'm on my phone, so I don't see very many people, but I think Seema is next, right?
Yes, thank you, Stella. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, everyone. I think I feel very grateful just thinking very quickly all through my life, especially since I immigrated here. And I just remember so many names of people, very, very kind, generous people that always supported me, mentored me, teachers, different people. But I wanted to share one story. I had a roommate, and we were not big fan of each other either. And she would cook very smelly food. And I just came from Iran, and it was my first roommate experience. My aunt and I would go weekends to my aunt and uncle in Atlanta, and then drive to Knoxville. And I had this little big. It was a relatively large apartment in Knoxville, right on the railroad, so it was cheap. And so I put a little curtain, plastic curtain in the kitchen. It was an old kitchen. So when she cooks, the smell won't come out. It was really bad. I couldn't take it. So we didn't have a good relationship. I mean, I think I wasn't that nice. And I had a surgery. I had a thyroid issue, and it had to be removed. And my aunt and cousins, they were all working in Atlanta, and it take them some time to be able to come and take me. So I had to go to operating room by myself. Actually, I had a friend that actually helped me to take me to hospital and then brought me home. And I didn't have any plan for dinner. And I mean, I had this whole thing holding my neck, just came out of surgery. And her name was Mega. And Mega cooked me this carrot soup that I still remember was one of the best dishes ever that I think saved me that night, because I was in pain. I was really sick after the surgery. So I remember her kindness, really unconditional, because I was not very nice to her. I put the curtain on kitchen, and she was telling me that I didn't smell bad. So she was from Malaysia. She was a Muslim girl, very nice girl. So that was a very nice memory for me that she did that with no expectation. Just as she just saw that I was very desperate in need of help. And then I just wanted to thank Megan and Diane. During the COVID, my school closed and things kind of fall out of order. I mean, I always have like plans for myself because I have to know what I do next. And I just keep getting emails that there's a mastery class, and I had a very limited budget. And I think the email came coming, and I was like, oh, I miss Diane so bad. And I always wanted that Diane. And I noticed somewhere that it says, oh, Redwood City. I'm like, oh my God, this is right next to me. So I was like, what would I do? And I just sent them an email like, I really want to come, but you know, I don't have money. I mean, I can't budget it. And they were so generous that they invited me to the master course. And this was the beginning of a wonderful chapter in my life with love of Megan and Diane. And I'm very grateful for that. And I also want, I mean, I have wonderful parents and siblings and family, but there was this oral surgeon in Knoxville, Tennessee. His name is Dr. Eric Carlson, and he actually is a very special person. This man really takes care of people with cancer of head and neck, and I thought I would bring his name here. He's a mentor of me, and he really changed my life. So these tears come. And he's a very big man, and I just emailed him. He replies in 1 hour, and I mean, compared to other people in the educational field, he's very, very kind person. You just email him and he just replies the kindest possible way and without any expectation. I mean, I'm not going to do anything for him, but he just picked something when I was in Knoxville. I was shadowing him and he just became my mentor, and he has been very kind to me all the time, like a father. But just like writing you a recommendation letter without any expectation anytime you want. So I mean, that means a lot. Sometimes he has changed my life. So he actually helped me to get into dental school and so thank you. I wanted to share this with you.
Sounds to me like you could write a book on all the acts of kindness. Yeah. actually, those are some of the most uplifting books in the whole world, as far as I'm concerned. The Jack Canfield books and all of the compilations of good acts of kindness. And I've got two that I'd like to share. The first one was my fifth grade teacher, Jack Vigil. And I went through school from kindergarten until I graduated from high school with essentially the same 300 kids. So we all knew each other really well over that period of time. That's 13 years. And there is this woman named Geraldine. And Geraldine and I were friends. And I didn't know that Geraldine had a very demanding mother, actually pretty kind of cruelly demanding of her. And how important it was to Geraldine that she was always first chair violin, first chair soprano, first in penmanship class, first, you know, all the firsts. They were really, really important to her. And I was really fortunate because all of that very easily to me. I didn't have to work for it. And so she set me up as her rival, and I didn't understand it. And a natural response was just to go ahead and compete a little bit. I didn't get nasty about it. It was just like, well, there's room enough for both of us at the top, as far as I was concerned, until it came to the penmanship finals, because that was a big deal when I was a kid, believe it or not. Most people can't read their writing. You'll be able to. I'm writing on my deathbed, no doubt, because it's been programmed into my hand. And it was a big deal back in the late 50s, early 60s. And so Geraldine and I were going at it for the penmanship finals. And either both of us or Geraldine, or I think it was probably both of us, were shooting each other pretty nasty looks, apparently, across this not very crowded kindergarten room, or whatever age we were at the time. I have no idea how old we were. Well, yeah, I do, because it was fifth grade. So we were 10, I suppose, 10. And when the test finished, you know, after we'd produced what we were supposed to produce, the rest of the class left, and Mr. Vigil asked both of us to stay after. And he brought us up to the front, and he sat us in front of him, and he came and sat in a chair, same level with us. And he said, girls, he said, I'm not going to tolerate competition from the two of you. You're both equally smart, equally pretty, equal, you know, he gave us all the things that neither of us had ever gotten from anybody about who we were, the mirroring. And we both broke out into absolute sobbing because he was loving us so much. And he wasn't criticizing us. He was just saying, I'm not going to tolerate this from you because you to be friends, and there's more than enough at the top for everybody. And from that point forward, Geraldine and I were friendly, and we weren't competing. We still did our best. Sometimes I won, sometimes she won, and we encouraged each other. And so he changed my life. He turned me from potentially a very competitive person to a very collaborative person at the age of 10. And I've stayed that way, and that I would say is one of the hallmarks of my mastery, is that I genuinely collaborative. And and in fact, it was a drawback when I played rugby. So I had to learn how to get competitive selectively, which I did, and that was fun too. So the second story is about the first time I started traveling, not internationally, but nationally, really on my own. My last year in university, I burned out. I was a nanny for a widow with three little kids, and it was a more than a full-time job, and I was going to school full-time, and I just finally burned out. So I put my backpack on my back, and I flew to California, to Los Angeles, and landed in LAX, and one of my uncles picked me up, and he was asking me what I was doing, what I was going to do next. So I told him, well, not really sure. I'm going to go visit relatives up the West Coast, go to Seattle, and then I'm going to go visit who used to be my boyfriend in Montana. The most important thing, though, from here on after you and family, is that I'm going to go to the Calgary Stampede, which is a world-renowned rodeo. And he said, really? And at that moment, a man came up and he said, excuse me, I was overhearing what you said, and my family and I live in Calgary, And he gave me his card, which was an Angus farm ranch. And he said, and when you come, you are more than welcome to come with our family. We would be honored to have you visit us if that's so important to you. And he was, you know, he was older enough from me that it wasn't like a come on. And so it was kind of weird because I'd never had anybody do anything like that before. So I kept it in my things and I got to Missoula, Montana, and I ended up running out of money before I got there. So I had to get a job with the Forest Service. So I made a life in Montana for 7 years. And my first thing when I got a day or two off of the Forest Service work was to get to the Calgary Stampede. So the next kind thing that happened is my boss at the time knew how important it was to me, and he loaned me his car, his family car. And his family did without a car for 3 or 4 days for me to be able to drive to Calgary. So I did stay with the family, and I got to wash Galloway cattle, which is a Scottish brand of really curly haired brown, kind of brunette brown hair. They're just beautiful cattle. And so that's how I got to pay back my room and board, and how I first got to the Calgary Stampede. And I have so many other stories about kindness and altruism. I could go on forever. So let's take a deep breath and take in all the goodness that each of us has had in our lives and what we've just heard, because it's really nice to hear good news. It's really nice to know there's kindness. And it's really nice to be reminded that each of us are fundamentally wired that way. Else we would not be doing what we're doing in the mastery work. So let's just take a deep breath together, closing our eyes. And let all of that goodness just permeate every cell. Take another deep breath. Make whatever kind of a commitment you have to be kind to yourself in all ways, always. And then take another breath and imagine yourself being able to share that kindness at every turn without being codependent, without expectation, and with it being an augmentation of your own wellness, goodness, and divineness as a human. And another deep breath just to let it all move and nourish and nurture. So in our remaining time, let's do a fairly quick share here. I would say a minute or so. What act of altruism, charity, or kindness you would like to see happen in the world? Don't have to know how it would happen, just what would you like to see happen on a world basis? Kanara, thank you.
I'd like to see a universal income system, so that everybody can have enough food, enough for transportation, enough for leisure, enough to pay for their shelter, to feel that foundation taken care of so that they can do something else or not worry, but just move from there.
Okay, let's do the same thing. Who's next? Carol, thank you.
Yes, I would like to say Diane sent me a thing today about the Clean Water Charity, and it blew my mind. And so I would like to say that I would like to see clean water for everyone in the world. I would like to see them be able to have clean water. Thank you.
I wish for all the borders to be removed, so all of us have the right to see our families whenever we want, and they should have the right to see us whenever they want. So I wish for that. Thank you. Who wants to go next? Next volunteer. Jim,
I was going to say the water too. So I'll piggyback off of that video to the doctor that he was working for on the ship of City of Mercy, I think it was called, or something, and wish for availability of medical care. Yeah. And the water. And Kanara, I liked what you said too, everything. Collectively, if we could make it all happen, that would be awesome. Who would like to go next? Preeti.
Okay, I have two things. One on the, so another video, Diane, you shared with the Need to Grow documentary. That was amazing. So I would, because that's for me, altruism for Mother Earth. The kind of powerhouse, and you know how they close the loop, and the possibility of free power, all of that in just one simple solution. And I would like such ideas to thrive, to go for better solution rather than you know, diminish them or obstruct them because of the existing hierarchy or whatever. So that would be something that I would love to see. And another thing is a much more simpler thing for people to implement is say good words, you know, good words and appreciation to come out of their mouths naturally for others without any expectations. Thank you. Who would like to go next? Yes, Jeff.
So I would like to have everybody wake up and love the earth, and you just see the things that are going on in nature now, the fires and the hurricanes and everything. We need to wake up and take care of this planet that we're on. Yeah. That's just about the top priority, in my opinion, is we need to take care of this planet, and then she'll take care of us. So thank you.
Stella.
Thank you. I could echo all of your wishes. You've touched on so many good things. For me, I feel like it all boils down to our capacity to be kind with ourselves. That if we can find kindness and compassion towards ourselves, then we can find kindness and compassion towards other people and towards the planet and towards this place that we call home. And you know, it's, if you were to have had a tape recorder running Bob Woodward style in my head for 30 years, you would have heard the nastiest, horriblest, meanest things that I was saying to myself. And it ended up being really hard for me to, like, I would be kind with other people and all that, but there was always this background element of being suspicious when other people were kind to me, and this background element of wondering what they actually wanted from me. And this, because like, it didn't even enter my reality that someone could be kind to me simply because they wanted to be kind. It's like, clearly they want something from me. And, you know, and I see that in the Grand Council at the beginning of this call talked about charity briefly. And I see so many people who claim to be charitable and who contribute a lot of money to charitable causes, but often it's not actually an act of charity. It's an act of, ooh, look, I can get money off of my taxes, or look, someone can name a building after me, or, oh, you know, I can show people that I'm a good person. It's like, if you're doing this to make yourself feel better, then that's not really an act of charity. It's, if you're doing it to save money, that's not really an act of charity. If you're doing it because your religion forces you to give money to charities. That's not really an act of charity. So I know I'm speaking for more than my allotted minute, but that feels really important to see, to be kind to ourselves and to be kind to others and to be kind to this planet that we call home. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the energy behind the actions, I think, that we're talking about. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And you've said so many of the things that I would have said, so I'm going to talk about human slavery and trafficking and that sort of part of the underbelly of the brute part of human nature. So for me, that everyone be truly free to enjoy the clean water and the universal basic income and the kindness that we will be and are bringing into the world. So let's make sure that before we leave the planet, we get all of this done together and that we have fun doing it. And I just want to say thank you to each one of you. So we have 5 minutes left. Anybody who has less than a minute of something to say, it's yours. Thank you.
So we got a three-legged dog, and when he was injured, we called this veterinary clinic, and there was a doctor there, Dr. Goza. He owned the clinic. And we took our dog there in the middle of the night, and he met us there at his office. And I was like, we were all frazzled. I didn't have any gas. And I asked him if there's any stations open. He says, oh, don't worry about it. You can take my car if you need to. And so he continued to take care of our dog. And then it was like, well, we got to put a fence up. We can't let this happen again. And he says, well, I have a tractor. You can use my tractor. And he only charged us like nothing, like $370, I think, it come to total for all this care. He took care of our dog. And it's kind of funny. We told him, I said, you're the kindest man I've ever met. And he said, well, talk to my ex-wives about that. It's kind of funny. But anyhow, what an act of kindness that was. Yeah, so that's what I wanted to share. So, Jim.
I have another medical. I bought a Harley Davidson in Madison, Wisconsin in 1992, and I rode it across the northern states and down through Idaho and Nevada into Tahoe, and got in an accident. And I was so poor at that time, the insurance that I had covered my bike more than it covered me. So my bike was fully repaired by the time I was able to use it again. But I broke my arm in the process. There's a nice little S curve on my wrist. And I explained this to the doctor, and he said, I will arrange for the hospital to accept what you have for yourself as full payment. And he performed the surgery for nothing. He had performed ACL repair on both my sister's knees and knew the family well. There's still 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Anyone else? Seema?
I want to acknowledge a man called David McDonald. He was in Reno. He was a rolfer, and I would go to him for rolfing. And he actually was the one introduced me to Diane. And he's a spiritual leader. And he actually introduced me to Stargate. He was someone that really uplifted my look at life and introduced me to all the real spiritual leaders on earth and who to go to. And Diane, beautiful Diane, was one of them. Just want to take this few seconds and thank David.
I just want to really quickly say that it was a really privilege to grow up with my dad working in his office. He was a surgeon, a family doctor and a surgeon. And I saw him do such amazing acts of kindness. We had a drawer for people that couldn't pay, and he would never turn anybody away. He would take care of anybody. We ended up with parakeets for trade, eggs for trade, whatever. And he, like I said, he would sometimes just say, put it in the drawer. And that's where it would stay. And I saw him get up in the middle of the night. He had a phone by his bed. He went on house calls in the middle of the night. He was a really good example to me of compassion, and he would give anything to anybody. So he was a good man. Thank you.
Nara, just jump in. Go off mute. Oh, you don't want to now? Okay.
Thing. Oh, there we go. It wasn't working. I just want to acknowledge you and Megan for all the beautiful work that you do. You take a lot of time out, like on Wednesday nights, to hold space for us. And you've changed my world. And I want to thank you both for that. And you remain open, loving, and kind, even if I'm not.
It's the Libra in me. There's got to be balance. On that note, thank you all for the kindness toward me and toward Megan and toward yourselves, toward each other. And may we consciously this week be kind to ourselves and then share whatever is left over with the rest of the world. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come back on and say goodnight if you like.
I'll just say on Megan's behalf, she made the chat that she had a call from her mom. She didn't get to it in time. She tried to call her back multiple times and her mom did not answer. So she drove over to check in on her.
Let you know how mom is on the next call, not before.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted.
Yes. All right, everybody, be well.
Thank you, everyone.
Stay dry where you are, Stella. Is it raining like crazy?